So a couple of years ago, Pastor Jonathan and I came up with a brilliant idea to start working out. And the reason why we came to the idea to start working out is because, well, number one, he wanted to get more energy, and he wanted to have, you know, once you get old, you kind of start losing energy a little bit. And he was like, well, if I start working out, the scientists say that I'll have more sustainable energy throughout the day. And on top of that, he wanted to get a little more toned for Tracy, because who wouldn't want to look good for their wife in the first place? And then the reason why he wanted me to work out is because, well, if we were being completely honest, I was getting kind of chunky. I had gained like a freshman 20 after the first year that I had left high school, because I was a cross country and track runner all throughout high school. And so I was used to being like 120 pounds or something like that, 125 pounds. So I was super skinny. But as I left high school and I stopped running, I started packing the weight right here in my stomach. And it became very evident to me one day that I was working up here at the church. I was doing volunteer work on a Thursday. And I was working down in the youth room, and I needed to go down over to Pastor Jonathan's office for some reason. And I walk into his room, and he looks at me mid-conversation, and he stops me, and he says, you know you're getting kind of fat when your regular jeans turn into skinny jeans. And my life ended right about there. I see y'all looking at my jeans. Don't look at my jeans for the rest of the night. Okay, look up here. I'm right here. So I've lost weight since then. So I'm not the same as I used to be. But anyways, I was getting fat, and Jonathan wanted to have more energy. So we made the decision to start working out. And what we had come to the conclusion of was we would work out for 3 days a week minimum for 1 year. And in order to help motivate us towards the goal of getting to 1 year and working out 3 days a week, we said, well, at the end of 1 year, we're going to go ahead and celebrate by going to Texas Day Brazil. Who in here has ever been to Texas Day Brazil before? It's an amazing, amazing place. You should go if you ever have the opportunity. So we do this for one whole year. We're working out 3 days a week minimum, and we make it to the end of the year, and so we get to go to Texas Day Brazil. Now, for those of you guys who don't know, Texas Day Brazil is like a really, really like fine dining restaurant in downtown Fort Worth, where they serve like the most fine cuts of meat that you could get really in Fort Worth. So I never thought I would be excited to go eat fine cuts of meat until I became a man. Like, it was something that never excited me until just recently. So we decided to go, yeah. So we decided to go to Texas Day Brazil to celebrate. And that was about a year and a half ago now. And so I just kind of want to tell you guys my experience about walking into Texas Day Brazil for the first time, because this is germane to my message. So don't think that I'm just going to talk about Texas Day Brazil the whole night. So we get there and we walk into Texas Day Brazil. And for those of you who don't know, it's like this super nice restaurant. And I walk in and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm like a kid in the candy store. I've never been to a nice restaurant like this before in my entire life. And we walk up to the host stand, and I'm still sitting there in awe of how beautiful this place is. And there's people walking around with these cuts of meat on these large skewers, and I'm like, holy smokes, we're about to go to town in here tonight. I was excited. And so our hostess takes us to our table, where she informs us that we have a little circular card on our table, and on one side is a green side, and on one side is a red side. And so when you flip your card on the green side, the hostess informed us that means that the gauchos, or the waiters or waitresses, will come to your table, and they'll cut off a slice of meat. And pretty much, like I said, they've got like skewers like this, but this doesn't even do it justice. I mean, they're like super long skewers of meat that are on there. We're talking really, really nice, fine cuts of meat. So anyways, and when we put the card on the red side, what it is communicating to the gauchos or the servers is that we don't want any more meat. We're done with eating the meat for the time being. So anyways, we sit down, and I have my card on green, like for the first 45 minutes of the night, y'all. I'm telling you, like, I'm sitting there, I'm ready to go. I had fasted all day, but not for getting closer to the Lord, but to create room in my stomach to be able to contain what I was about to be doing to myself, which is eating pounds and pounds of meat. And so the first server comes by, and he comes down, and he's got this skewer, and he's like, would you like bacon wrapped filet mignon? And most of them have accents, and I'm sitting there, I'm like, yes. They put it on my plate. Next thing you know, the next gaucho comes by, and he's like, do you want rack of lamb? And I sit there, and I'm like, yeah. And so anyways, we go on, and my favorite meat there, y'all, they don't serve it all the time. It's called the house roast. I'm telling you, I had a little taste of heaven that day when I put that house roast in my mouth, because it was perfectly seasoned, and it was perfectly tender, and I put it in my mouth, and it was incredible. And he came down, and anytime I didn't see the house roast coming by at one point, I put my card on red because I didn't want anything else other than the house roast. So you're probably wondering why I'm talking about Texas Day Brazil so much, and the reason why is because in the same way that we had those red and those green cards, you know, that indicated whether or not we wanted to eat more meat, I think a lot of us as Christians live lives where our card is on red when it comes to God. God is coming by, and he wants to bless us with something, but instead of having our card on green, we have our card on red. And what do I mean by card? I mean that God wants to bless you maybe financially. And instead of you having your card on green ready to receive what God wants to give you, you have your card on, you have your card on red because of the fact that you're not ready to receive it. Or maybe you've been unfaithful in an area to the Lord and he can't bless you with it. So what I mean by this is that many times God wants us to bless us in our lives, but our cards are on red, so we don't receive what he so desperately wants to give us. And I believe that God is looking down at us and saying, why are your cards on red? Will you turn your cards over to the green side so I can bless you with something, so I can give you something in this lifetime? Now, obviously, we as Christians, we don't have cards that we flip over on green or red to indicate whether we're ready to receive from the Lord. So what I want to do is I want to talk about what we can do in order to figuratively flip our cards over to green so that we can be ready to receive something from the Lord. I want to help us understand how we can receive more and why it's important that as Christians we pray for the more that God wants to give us in our lives. In essence, I want to help us to figure out how we can end up stepping into everything that God has for us in our lives. Now, you may be saying, that young preacher boy sounds like he's preaching prosperity gospel up there. We're talking about receiving more from God. You know, I may just walk out of here if he keeps doing that. I promise you that's not what I'm preaching tonight. I promise you that that is not my intention with this message. And if you think that that's what it is, then you can go ahead and you can leave or whatever. I don't care. But I think that if you stay long enough, you're gonna see that this is a message that is going to help you, and you're going to see God move in and through your life. So in order to give us a deeper understanding of receiving more, I've outlined three keys to how we can step into the more that God has for us. And the first key that I want us to look at is faithfulness. And as I was praying this week and just kind of preparing my heart for this message, and I felt led to pray about, or not, to preach about, you know, receiving more as Christians, because I feel like Christians are missing out on a lot of the blessings that God has for them in their life. The first word that came to mind was faithfulness. And the reason why faithfulness came to mind is because that if we want to receive more from God, he will not give us more until we become faithful in the areas that we're praying for more in.
That's right. That's right.
What I mean is if you are being unfaithful in your finances, God is not going to bless you with more until you steward it properly. I learned this firsthand a couple of years ago. I told the story last time I was preaching, but it is essential, and I think that it will help some people in here today. A couple of years ago, I got in a massive amount of debt. I had like $3,000 or $4,000 worth of credit card bills that had piled up because I was never taught how to spend correctly. I was never taught that credit card debt is like the worst possible debt that you can possibly have in your life. And so I get deep in this hole of debt, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, okay, I need help because I've just heard that credit card debt is like horrible, and they charge you like 20% interest, and that is not what I'm all about anymore. So I go to Pastor Jonathan, and I'm like, hey, can you help me get out of debt? And he's like, yeah, for sure. Have you started tithing? And I was like, what's that? And he was like, well, it's where you give, you know, 10% to the Lord. And it's not even give. It's really just not stealing, y'all, in the first place. So you're not giving it back. You're just not stealing from the Lord because he's the one who blessed you with it in the first place. But that's a rabbit trail. And so I sit there and I'm like, why would I give more money away when I'm trying to pay off something that I'm $3,000 or $4,000 in debt? And what he told me was that when we're faithful to tithing, when we're faithful to giving our money to the Lord, back to the Lord, he begins to work miracles in your life. And you, in essence, begin to step into the more that God has for you financially. But that doesn't happen if you're unfaithful. If we're unfaithful, what happens is God is looking down and he's saying, man, if only they would tithe, I would open up the windows of heaven and pour it out on them. But instead, so many of us sit as unfaithful. Maybe you are unfaithful when it comes to the gifts that God's given you. We have all been given gifts, ways that we operate within the kingdom of God. And if we don't utilize those correctly to further the kingdom, we're not going to see God move in and through our occupations and our families or anything like that. And it is essential that we use our gifts and steward them well to further the kingdom.
That's right.
Think about your family. Think about the impact that you could have on your family if you decided to be faithful to leading your family, whether it's your kids, your grandkids, maybe you don't have kids, maybe it's, you know, trying to lead your mother or father by Christ, which is my situation, y'all. I none of my family is Christian. I'm like a first generation believer in my family, and they may say that they're Christians, but they don't, you know how it is here in America. People say they're Christians, but they don't really act it out. They're not true disciples of the Lord. So faithfulness is essential to seeing God move and give you more in your life. In order to help us understand this biblically, I want us to take a look at Matthew 25, verses 19 through 29. And I know that's like 10 verses, so we're going to catch up on y'all's Bible reading this week, if you don't mind. So starting in verse 19, I want to read. I'm going to read 5 verses and then pause and talk a little bit, and then I'm going to read the rest after that. So Jesus says this in his parable. He says, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. And this is talking about a master who had left and given his servants money to take care of, and he's now come back. He goes on to say, the man who had received 5 bags of gold originally brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. Man, those are some words I want to hear at the end of my life. Yeah. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. That's a beautiful picture of faithfulness in the kingdom of God. When we take what God has given us and we multiply them out into the kingdom and we multiply it for the purpose of God using it, what we see is that God is going to bless us with more and more and more. But here's the deal. The moment that we stop using that blessing to bless other people is the moment that God takes it away. Right. And the moment that we stop seeing the blessing of God in our lives. And that's a hard truth that we have to deal with. But the Lord giveth and taketh away. That's what it says in the word. So now we're going to get to kind of the downer part of this parable, and it's in verse 24, and Jesus goes on to say, then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, and this is harsh, you wicked and lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with bankers so that when I return, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. So it just goes back to what I was saying earlier. If we're faithful with what God has blessed us with, he's going to give us more, so long as we steward it well. If we're unfaithful with what God has given us, he's going to take it away. And this is the first step to receiving more in our life, because if we're unfaithful in areas where we want to see God do more, he's not going to give us anything in the first place because we can't steward it well. So with that being said, once we're faithful, we can start praying bolder prayers and asking God for more in our lives. And that leads me to the second key to receiving more, which is to pray bold prayers. It's boldness in our lives as Christians. And in the Bible, there's a book called Chronicles. So if you have your Bible, I would love for you to turn to 1 Chronicles 4. And I'm going to read a couple more verses. Hang with me. We're going to be there. And for those of you who don't know, 1 Chronicles is in the Old Testament. Some of you guys have probably never heard of it before, or maybe never even read it. But it's really just a historical account of a lot of the families and genealogy that aren't mentioned in other books of the Bible. So I want us to start there in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 1, and it says this. The descendants of Judah, Perez, Hezron, Carmi, Hur, and Shobal. Reiah, son of Shobal, was the father of Jahath. And Jahath, the father of Ahumai and Lahad. These were the clans of the Zorathites. See what y'all are missing out on in Chronicles right here? I'm going somewhere with this. Hang out with me for just a second. Goes on to say in verse 3, these were the sons of Etam. Jezreel, Ishma, and Idbash. Their sister was named, get this, Hazelelponi. That's her name. Don't laugh at that. She couldn't control what her mommy and daddy named her. Goes on to say, Penuel was the father of Gedor and Ezra the father of Hushah. These were the descendants of Hur, the firstborn of Ephrathah and father of Bethlehem. Ashur, the father of Tekoa, had two wives, Hela and Nerah. Don't get it twisted now. Let's not pray for more in this way, because that's not how God intended it. Just stick with one wife, because we don't live in Utah. So, after these verses, they list a few more verses, and it's just really names and other information about these people that were descendants that aren't really accounted for in other books of the Bible. So I want to fast forward to verse 9, though, and this is where we really get to the meat of where I want to talk about praying bold prayers. It says this in verse 9. It talks about Jabez. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." What a reason for a name. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. That is beautiful right there, y'all. He is named after a name that says, pain. He was named after his mother's experience of giving birth to him, and he begins to pray a bold prayer that the Lord would keep him away from pain for his entire life. And you know what is the most amazing about this? It says that God granted his request. That's a bold, bold, bold prayer right there, y'all. And I think that we need to get a hold of something that Jabez knew. He knew that God would listen to his bold prayer, and that if it lined up with his will, he would grant it. He knew what, you know, this was written after Jabez obviously died, but he had a hold of this truth before it was even written in Scripture. Ephesians 3 verses 20 through 21 says that, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." I'm here to tell y'all tonight that God can do immeasurably more than anything that you could ever ask or imagine, and Jabez knew about that truth. And I want y'all to get a hold of that truth tonight, that God can do immeasurably more than you could ever dream of. And he wants to do it in your life. God is not a God that withholds stuff from us to play games with us, but he's a God that says, man, if they were faithful and if they would pray bold prayers, man, I would love to give them what I have for them in their life. And in essence, that's us flipping our card from red to green and saying, "Lord, I'm ready to receive. Lord, I'm ready for you to give me what you want to have in my life. And Lord, I'm ready to step into the kingdom life that you want me to live and be a blessing to others, because you've blessed me with gifts and you've blessed me with material things in order to further the kingdom." Now, he also says that he prayed that he would just bless him. That was a very generic but open-ended prayer. He's like, "God, I don't care how you bless me, just bless me. Just bless me, Lord. I know that you know what's best for me, just bless me, Father." And he's prayed that he would enlarge his territory. It's okay. And for Christians today, I think that we have this kind of idea that, you know, anytime we see like a Christian or somebody driving a nice car, we're like, "That's not right. That's not okay. Why do they have a nice car? Shouldn't they be giving to the poor? Maybe they just steward their money well. Maybe they're able to give and have a nice car at the same time. Maybe they're able to say, you know, I am tithing. I'm being faithful to what the Lord has called me. And I'm just praying that the Lord, you know, and the Lord gives them more because he's faithful." It's just the favor of God, y'all. It's okay to pray for the favor of God in your life. Now, some of us don't pray bigger and bolder prayers because we've convinced ourselves that God has already said no, or that he isn't generous and doesn't want to give us abundant life. And that is so far from the truth, y'all. The truth is that when you start believing that God doesn't, you know, that you've convinced yourself that God doesn't want to give you good things and to give you favor in your life, what you've done is you've let the enemy steal what the Lord has for you. This is what it says in John 10:10. Jesus says that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Here's the key. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Amen. Are you praying bold prayers? Are you praying that the Lord would bless you and that the Lord would do something amazing and big in you? I can tell you something that I'm praying for right now, this is kind of a bold prayer. I'm not the most creative guy. I don't really think outside of the box. And that is like one of my really like big stumbling blocks when it comes to ministry. I'm one of those pastors that if I ever become a pastor of my own church one day, right now I'm going to need my own like creative team to come help me and think up creative thoughts. So what I'm praying right now is that the Lord would create in me a creative mind, that instead of just being kind of straightforward and to the point, that the Lord would work in me creativity. And beyond that, I'm also praying that he would take me to the next level of my faith when it comes to ministering to the teenagers that are here at the church. I don't want to stay complacent with where the Lord has me right now. I want to move up and move further into the plan that God has for me when it comes to discipling teenagers and seeing them be moved along in their faith walk. And so I don't know about you guys, but what are you praying for? When's the last time you prayed an impossible prayer? Because God is the God of the impossible, and He wants to do impossible things in your life. And to move on to the final key tonight, I want to talk about trust. Trust is the key to receiving more. Why is trust a key to receiving more from the Lord? Well, simply put, because sometimes when we pray and pursue for more, God's not always going to say yes. And it's terrible, and we think, where in the world are you, God? Why? I'm praying these prayers, I've been faithful, and I'm praying bold prayers, but I'm not receiving the more that I feel like I'm supposed to get. And the point is that we need to trust God because He's all-knowing, and He knows what's best for your life. No matter what you may think that is best for your life, God knows, truly knows, what's best for your life. The truth is, the reason why God doesn't give us some things right now in our lives is because, well, sometimes we're not ready. I've been there before. Back in the day when I used to be dating this girl, I would sit there and I would pray that, you know, I would be the one that she would end up marrying. And ultimately what happened is we broke up and I wasn't ready for marriage. And in those moments, I would say, well, God, would you just change your will? Like, if it's possible, would you just change your will for my life so that I can end up marrying this girl? And what I didn't realize was that God's will is way better for me than my will, than I could even think of in my life. And so, is that making sense to y'all? Like, the fact that we have ideas and we have dreams and we have aspirations of, you know, who maybe, well, y'all are older. I was about to say who we're going to marry, but most of y'all are married in here. So, maybe it's what's your purpose in life. Maybe you feel like you've lost vision or anything like that. And you have vision for your life, but if it's not given by God, it's not for you and it's not what's best for you. So, we need to get on the train of trusting God that His plan for us is better than what we could ever imagine. Another reason why we need to trust the Lord with receiving more is because sometimes, like I said, it doesn't line up with His will. And the main way that you can figure out whether or not something you want to do lines up with His will is right here in this good old book. This is true and we're wrong. That's what Josh Wustinger says all the time. I feel like he says it every time we're at the men's book study. He says, this is right and I'm wrong no matter what it says. And it's true. This is all truth in here, y'all. It's completely true. Don't let anybody convince you that there is a single falsehood in this book. It is completely true, and it's going to teach you how to walk in life as a Christian and how you can reach others and how you can maximize yourself within the kingdom of God.
That's right.
So, in Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6, Solomon writes this to us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight.
Amen.
When we pray for more and it lines up with the will of God, He'll grant us what we ask for the same way Jabez was granted for his prayer. When our prayers and when our aspirations line up with the will of God, what we're going to see is God move in our life. And God's not going to withhold something that He has for you if you pray for His will to be done in your life and if you're walking in accordance with what He wants to do. And the more, I just left a spot in my notes. If the more we're praying for doesn't line up with the will of God, then we can trust that God is protecting us from something that we can't see in the future. Ultimately, God's no is an act of protection in your life. Ultimately, God is saying, listen, you may think that this is going to have one outcome, but I promise you, I see in the future, I'm omnipotent, I'm all-knowing, that's not going to end the way you think it is, and I'm trying to protect you because I've got a better plan for your life. I've got something so much better and so much greater for you. Second thing about trust, you can trust that God will grant us everything we need as we walk through life. He is everything that we could possibly ever need. It says, give us this day our daily bread. The reason why is because God's going to give us our day-to-day needs every single day. Think about this. As I was praying and as I was thinking about, you know, the message and everything, I came back to a story in Genesis where it's the story of Moses in the burning bush. And so Moses is having this dialogue with God. God is like, hey, I want you to go to the Israelites and free them. And Moses is coming up with all these excuses of why he can't do it. And so I'm going to pick up where, and these aren't going to be on the screen, I'm going to kind of narrate it for you guys. He sits there and God's like, I want you to go to the Israelites and tell them that I'm coming to free them. And Moses then asks, he says, well, who am I supposed to say sent me? And I'm sure God's sitting there in the burning bush and he's like, well, I do have quite a few names. I am Jehovah Jireh, the Lord your provider. I am Jehovah Tsidkenu, God your righteousness. I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord your healer. You know what? I don't want to box myself in, Moses, so I think what I want you to tell them is that I am that I am. Amen. And the reason why God says this to Moses is because when he sends him to Israel, God realizes that he's going to need to be what they need to be from day to day to day. One day, and I'm sure that, you know, there are at least 30 or 40 of you that realize this in here. One day you need Jehovah Jireh, the Lord your provider. One day you may need Jehovah Shalom, the Lord God our peace. One day you may need the Lord God our warrior in your life. And the reason why he says I am that I am is because he didn't want to box himself in, because he realized that he needed to be to the Israelites what he needed to be from day to day. Amen. When God was leading them out of Egypt at night, he became a pillar of fire at night, and he guided them as they were walking into the wilderness. He became their rear guard as the Egyptians were running after him. And ultimately, he performed the miracle of parting the Red Sea and getting rid of an obstacle in their life. So tonight, I want to ask you, what do you want God to do in your life? What is the will that God has placed in you, and what does God want to do in and through you tonight? And this is an important question that you need to ask yourself, because of the fact that when we ask ourselves this question, we're allowing God to speak into our lives, and we're allowing him to change our lives from the inside out forever and ever. So God is everything we've ever needed, and he is more than ready to bless us with the more he has for us, so long as we stay, number one, faithful to what he's blessed us with, number two, bold in our prayer life, and number three, as long as we stay trusting in his will for our lives. Faithfulness, boldness, and trust. When we step into these three things is whenever we're going to see the Lord begin to move and begin to minister in and through us in our lives. So tonight I want to close with this. Which of those three areas do you feel like you could improve on? Is it faithfulness? Maybe you haven't been as faithful at a church as you've wanted. Maybe you've been struggling to get to church because, well, the kids are hard and I just don't have much downtime or whatever, and I want to see God move in my life, but I haven't been faithful to church, and I'm missing out on some of the blessings that being at church brings in. Maybe you're struggling to be faithful to tithing and being financially faithful to the Lord and to the commandment that he gave to give 10%, and not just give it out of you know, begrudgingly, but to give it joyfully. Because number one, it's not even giving back at all. Like I said, it's just not stealing. It's not stealing from the Lord. Or maybe do you need to work on praying bold prayers? I know in my life, I am really bad about praying impossible prayers when God wants to do impossible things in our lives. I pray safe prayers all the time, and I pray for like 2 or 3 minutes, but I want to encourage you, pray impossible prayers tonight.
That's right.
Do you need healing in your life? There's going to be an opportunity for you to come up here and to pray that the Lord would heal you, to do something that in the physical is completely impossible, but with God and the Holy Spirit here, it's completely possible. Maybe you need to pray a prayer that you've got a son or a daughter that has left, and they seem so far away. In fact, they claim to be atheists tonight, and I'm not sure who this is for tonight, but I just feel led to say it. You need to come up here and pray that they wouldn't just accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, but that they would become a disciple-making Christian, and that they would change the lives of many. We need to go beyond just praying simple prayers and praying for one level and go to the next level and say, God, I know you're the God of the impossible, and I'm ready for you to do the impossible, not just in my life, but in the lives of others. Intercessory prayer is powerful. This is for somebody. I don't know who it's for, but whoever has a son or daughter that has gone by the wayside, they've become the prodigal, pray for them to come back. And don't just pray for them to just become Christian, but that they would be a disciple-making believer in the kingdom. Finally, if you struggle with trusting God's will for your life, do you need help in trusting him and trusting what he wants to do in and through you? Do you struggle with trusting him with your family, your finances, with your church life, with your relationships? I encourage you, tonight, there's going to be an opportunity to come down here, and we're going to have our prayer partners come down in just a moment, but there's going to be an opportunity for you to come down here and pray to the God who does impossible things, to pray that you can become more faithful, to pray that you would grow in your trust of him. Before I do that, I just want to say that the altar is a powerful place. It's a powerful place. And, you know, Pastor gave a message the other day talking about the altar and why it's so important. So I don't want you to stay complacent tonight. If you want to. You come down to this altar and you experience the Holy Spirit tonight. And that's not to say you can't experience the Holy Spirit in your chairs. That's, you can, most definitely. But I want to encourage you to step out in faith and say, you know what, I'm going to visit the God of the impossible.
That's right.
So will you all stand with me really quick?